My dear sisters, religious, clergy, my dear friends in Christ, it is true that the world is wicked. Man has done much to offend Almighty God. However, it is possible to do something that is pleasing to God, to make reparation. This is one of the most consoling, most beautiful truths that our Catholic faith teaches us, that with the help of God's grace, a person, not only can a person overcome sin, but perfect themselves to such a degree that they are actually pleasing to Almighty God. They can take that debt that is the sins of mankind and, with their merit and virtues, change the balance. How do we do this principally? What are some of the main things that are pleasing to Almighty God? And we might take examples from human experience. As parents, what are some virtues in your children that are really consoling? There will be mistakes made. As our blessed Lord says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are prone to error. We will make mistakes from time to time. But if a mistake, when a mistake is made, what happens after really shows the progress of your child. Something unfortunate happened. Do they dig in their heels, cross their arms, and throw a fit, refuse to talk? Or do they realize their mistake and come back and say sorry? Do they exercise humility? This is one of the most important ways that we can regain God's favor. We can indeed make reparation humility. What's another way a parent might be consoled? Every parent will see their child go through difficult things, especially as they grow in age, get into your difficult teenage years. There's big questions. And every parent, of course, is willing to help and give advice. And what is more consoling than when a child trusts their parent, listens to that advice, even when it might go against their own thoughts or desires? They say, yes, Dad, yes, Mom. Maybe I don't understand entirely, but I trust you. And so with Almighty God, trust, or another word for this, we might say faith. We see both of these virtues in the centurion. Christ is, it seems, astounded. He says, I have not found so great a faith in Israel. Here is this man who is not, you might say, from the household of faith. He is not one of God's chosen people. He is a Gentile. However, what a consolation he is to Christ. Because he humbles himself. He says, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. He begins this act of faith with a profound humility. And then he goes on, and with a further, really, an explanation of both humility and faith, he explains, just logically, I am a man subject to authority. I have soldiers under me. The simple matter, of course, if I tell them to do something, they will do it. Here he is speaking to the Creator, the King of Kings, and he realizes it. He can say anything and it will be done. So to follow the example of this centurion, to give Christ, to give Almighty God consolation, cause to be pleased with us. Let us examine humility and trust. Humility, again, as I said, the centurion almost explains it. This is a logical thing. It simply follows that we would be nothing, truly nothing, without God. He called our existence out of nothingness. He created our immortal soul by his willpower. And what is more, even though he called us into existence from nothing, and we owe him our very life, because of sin, the original sin we were born with, and actual sins committed since the time we understood sin, we are worse than nothing. We have offended our God, who has done nothing but good to us. And so, what is the logical conclusion? We ought to subject ourselves in every possible way to Almighty God and to his holy will. If we are able to start to practice humility, which is principally exercised, yes, first towards Almighty God, we have a complete dependence upon him, but it is principally daily exercised through our neighbor, to not be too in love with our own opinions, to say less sometimes rather than more, to not hold ourselves out there as some sort of authority, unless it's an authority that is given us by God. But if we are able to start to practice this humility, the results can be truly astounding. Because again, I say, there is no other virtue so pleasing to Almighty God. And what is some evidence towards this? We have only to look at our Blessed Mother, particularly that beautiful canticle, the Magnificat. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he who is mighty has done great things to me, and holy is his name. It is because of the profound humility of the Blessed Virgin Mary that she is exalted above every creature. It is because of the humility of the Blessed Virgin Mary, as opposed to the pride of our first mother, Eve. It was pride that brought about the fall of mankind. It was the humility of the Blessed Virgin Mary that brought about, began our redemption. God exalts the lowly. He puts down the mighty from their seats. Another beautiful example. This year, we celebrate 800 years in October, the death of a truly great saint. It was pointed out to me, this was in a very precious little book, it's called The Little Flowers of St. Francis. It's pointed out to me that there was a revelation made about St. Francis of Assisi. It was discovered after his death by means of a devil, actually. There was an exorcism being done, and the devil, through the prayers of the ritual, the prayers of Holy Mother Church, was forced to tell the truth. And this woman, who was terribly afflicted by a demon, it was noted by the priest doing the exorcism that the devil left unexpectedly for 2 days. And then on the third day, the devil returned and tormented the woman even worse than before. Eventually, the priest was able to ascertain what was the cause. The devil was forced to admit he left the woman. He was ordered to meet with all of his compatriots, all of the other demons, to go and torment the holy man Francis on his deathbed. But so great was the throng of angels and the presence of our Blessed Mother that we were put to flight and had no purchase with that holy man's soul. And so upon returning to this woman, filled with shame and anger, tormented her all the worse. It was also revealed that God, in the 1100s, 1200s, had planned to end the world. He was so, even in that time, 800 years ago, was so disgusted by the sins of mankind that the heavy hand of his justice was about to come onto the earth. But God the Son intervened and said, I will raise up a man who will be so much like me, so profound will be his humility and his love of my passion, that he will appease God's wrath. And this man was Saint Francis. Again, why so great a saint? Why is he a name that has come down through the annals of church history some 800 years later as one of the greatest saints of God's church? It was because of his profound humility. He subjected himself to God in every possible way. He made himself the least among his brethren. He convinced himself, though he was a great saint, gifted with the stigmata, he convinced himself that he was the worst of all sinners. Because without God's grace, he would indeed be guilty of every possible sin. But God, with his infinite mercy, held him up. My dear friends, humility, humility, humility. If we do not build upon the foundations of humility, our spiritual edifice will fall. Humility is very much connected, however, with this idea of trust. It's very easy to have a skewed concept of humility that leans towards perhaps scrupulosity, discouragement. Because if we start to think in those same strains, well, we are the worst possible sinner. We're nothing but disgusting filth. Most of us will start to become very discouraged. And that is why it has to be, humility must be married with trust in Almighty God, a confidence, a faith that He will always give us His graces. Though we be unworthy instruments, by His infinite goodness, He will use us for good. If we become pliable in His hands, if we are humble. So, my dear friends in Christ, again, humility, 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 and a confidence, a trust. Let us take this example of the centurion. When we pray, make this a constant petition in our prayers, that Almighty God give us the grace to be humble and have the absolute confidence that He can and will give us that grace. I believe a prayer that every Catholic should say many times a day, particularly when we wake in the morning, we begin our day, but often throughout the day. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.